Gospel of Matthew, I invite you to take your Bible and open there to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This scripture just brings forth to our minds the birth of Jesus. It tells the story in succinct fashion and very clearly what God was doing in Christ back then in the very first part of the first century. So, as we begin, I wonder what's on your mind. Do you have a promise? Do you have a praise? Do you have a prayer request? Feel free to voice that, mention that. We'll pray together, and then we'll anchor our souls here in some familiar words. What's on your heart? Jeff?
Praise the Lord for two salvation decisions.
Wonderful. Praise God. Yeah. Joyful. Anyone else? All right. I did want to relay some more sad news tonight. Many of you know Arnett Reed. She passed away today. Yep. Of an aneurysm, which is a ruptured aorta, just suddenly. And so anyway, we want to be in prayer for the family. We don't know her children, but we want to pray for her family. Is that wind, Dan? So we'll remember her family in our prayers, and she'll be missed. What a gentle and happy soul. I remember her for her testimony of Jesus, and definitely be missed. Okay, anything else on your mind tonight as far as a verse of scripture that's been on your heart, or a praise or prayer request? Anything? Anything else? Want to remember our friends who are serving in faraway places. We want to remember them in our prayers tonight. And then as the church, as we go forward and continue to seek the Lord's wisdom as far as coming back and getting back to some semblance of what our program has been, which, you know, Sunday school and our men's breakfasts and our women's breakfasts and all these things. We're really hopeful to see some progress made in the coming year. And we don't know, which is okay. We'll trust the Lord in this. And we're satisfied with that, with trusting Him and confident that He'll show us. He'll lead us. He'll show us the way. All right. Let's pray together. And Rod, if you would, lead us tonight in prayer, and then we'll be in Matthew's Gospel.
Talk about Jesus, and wherever that would land, but there are heads up there.
slow, but I just pray that it'll be steady and very much in progress by your grace and your blessing on both Pastor Russ and Eileen. So go through on this. Thank you for just words tonight of two salvations. Such a great glorious thing, and we do not take that as just a small offending. So much goodness there, but that is fabulous that there are new saints headed for glory. Thank you for think of the time we live in, and the souls that are brought to faith in Jesus. Time is short, and so we're thankful for this. I pray that you continue to watch over our missionaries, give them the celebration of their families at Christmas time too. They're part of us. And we just pray for the safety and well-being, and we pray for the fruitfulness of their ministry. We just thank you for their work and practice out there. We pray your blessing now on our conscience in our study tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, the word of the Lord. Tonight we're celebrating the coming to earth of the Messiah. I was thinking a while ago as we prayed, praying for missionaries, praying for a family of the family of someone dear to us here in this immediate church family, that none of those prayers really would make sense except for the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has come to earth. And we are not looking for a Savior. We have found a Savior. And we look and peer into the historical record, which is the testimony of the apostles, and we see in living color this Jesus. And we celebrate at this time of year his birth, and we're glad to do so. So let's just break it down as we begin in verse 18, and the text will unfold the story before us, and I trust tonight that we'll be edified and uplifted. And I was just celebrating Jesus and noting that, there's plenty of joy to be had in spite of circumstances, in spite of sickness and death and uncertainty and all kinds of political drama in our day. There's plenty of joy to be had. But to find that joy, you must go to Bethlehem. You must go to Mount Calvary You must go to an empty tomb, and you must be among that remnant of God's people who are looking for his soon return. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. So we have the record of the birth of the Christ. I enjoy birth stories. I think many of us have a birth story, right? Whether it's been reiterated or told, there's a story. But there's no birth story like the story of Jesus' birth. And we have an account. We have a couple of eyewitness accounts of the birth of Jesus. The ones that come to mind first are Matthew and Luke for their specificity and how they talk about the place and the various people that were involved, and they do so with great detail. And then we have John's gospel that gives us a different perspective, but nevertheless an accurate perspective on the birth of Jesus. Verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. So this is, we can't really emphasize it enough. This is not like reading an Aesop's fable. This is not a work of fiction. We read, and what we're reading is a historical account of the birth of Jesus. And even the supernatural elements and the supernatural element that he was born of a virgin is really important to the story, and the story continues to be historical even with those that supernatural event in mind. So when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, so that's a serious engagement, if you will. I mean, that's at that point the betrothal between a man and a woman is serious, though not consummated. So Mary and Joseph, they have a future together at this point. The Bible says before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. You know, I like the Bible writers do not back off of this reality that Mary is a virgin and that she is with child supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Oh, what joy, what wonder, the wonder of Christmas right there in verse 18, and the excitement that comes just thinking about what God's intent is with this child to be born of this virgin mother. And Joseph, there's Joseph. Matthew makes some to-do about Joseph. We don't have a lot about Joseph in the scriptures. Luke does not talk as much about Joseph as Matthew. Luke's more centered on Mary. But here we have Joseph. We don't know much about him. We know he's not mentioned as being at the cross. He's not mentioned really after the birth narratives. You just don't hear much of Joseph. So there's all kinds of speculation. What happened to Joseph? We don't know. But we do know about him from this text and from this time of betrothal with Mary. So Joseph, the Bible says, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man. Now, what does that mean? It's important for us to know that no person in Scripture is deemed righteous except by faith in God. So our discerning eye here tells us that Joseph is a man of faith. Right there it is. He is a righteous man. He's not a self-righteous man. He's not a self-made man. He's not a man, certainly not a man of special status or privilege. He's not a scholar. He's a carpenter. He is of humble means, yet he is a righteous man, a man of faith. a man who has received God's righteousness. How's that? Well, he must be looking for the Messiah. He must be trusting God. I like what Joseph is described as doing here. He's not only a righteous man, he doesn't want to disgrace his wife. Now, this is a little bit of a precarious situation. This does not look good in the culture of that day. This could be a mark against Mary. It could be a mark against Joseph. No doubt there were some whispers. And we know from Jesus' ministry, those whispers continued into the time that he was doing miracles and teaching the crowds. People always, especially the religious crowd, questioning his birth. Remember? They were always questioning his birth. And I remember one time Jesus, I guess, he had just about had enough. And he said, well, I know who your father is. And they're all, okay, like, you know, the old E.F. Hutton commercial, you know. When he speaks, everybody listens. And they're all listening. And Jesus just breaks the silence with, you're of your father, the devil. The silence turned to some pretty fierce anger at that point. The gist of this is that the question of his birth, the whole atmosphere of the time, and the pressure of the culture. Joseph had already made up his mind. Says it right here. Matthew discloses this to us. Joseph had made up his mind. He had planned to send her away secretly. Didn't want to disgrace her. Didn't want to make a big to-do. Didn't want to ruin her. But nevertheless, something had to be done. So how do you navigate this situation? Let's just be quiet about it. Let's keep it on the down low and let's just get through it. Bible says he had considered this. Verse 20, he planned this. He considered it. He was gonna carry this through. And behold, an angel shows up. Now, this is not the first time we see in a birth narrative an angel showing up. Now, this one is in a dream. Bible says an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I wonder what that angel would say. Well, here we have it. Word for word, what the angel said to Joseph in the dream. And Joseph already has this plan. It's interesting. You know, we get involved with plans and, okay, this is what we'll do. This is what seems right. And a lot of times, God redirects our minds and our plans. And God is certainly, he has the authority to do that. So the angel appeared to him in a dream. And the angel said something. The angel had a message for Joseph. And this is what he said. He says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. You know, the way the angel puts that, he kind of puts his finger on the motivation for keep this calm and keep this quiet. There's some fear involved. There's some real fear on what this could mean for their lives, each one going forward. This could discredit them. People talk. And people don't always wait to find out the story. And even when they find out the story, they don't always believe it. But the angel came. The angel spoke. And he says, Joseph, son of David. There's a great connection there with Joseph, son of David, right there. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. To do what? To take Mary as your wife. Oh my, well, you talk about, now people would talk if he kept it on the down low, but people are certainly going to talk if he takes her as his wife. They're going to question his character. He says, and he gives a reason. I just think it's really, God just shows great care in communicating what is taking place. And sometimes things take place in our lives that we don't fully grasp. It's amazing how close he is to this situation, and he doesn't fully grasp the situation. But God comes in, and God speaks the word of truth and an accurate word concerning what was transpiring between he and Mary, and more specifically and more truthfully between Mary and the Holy Spirit and this child that is within her. And he says, for the child who has been conceived is of the Holy Spirit. So we see the Trinity right here. We've got God the Father, we've got God the Son conceived in Mary, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we also have an angel on top of that communicating all of this to Joseph. And then he goes on to speak and to clarify what is taking place. It's such a comfort, I think, to us as God's people that God gives us the light we need in the situation to continue to walk by faith and to continue to make correct, wise decisions for him. And that's what he's doing. He's leading Joseph along here. And he says, she, Mary, will bear a son. And you, Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. That's all Joseph needed to hear. You look down there in verse 24. Joseph woke up. He wakes up. What's a man to do? He has a dream like this. And he wakes from his sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. You know, when Matthew describes Joseph as being a righteous man, when it describes his heart for Mary and not wanting to disgrace her, when it describes Joseph as waking up and being obedient to the word or the message of the angel, the message of the Lord through the angel, and he takes Mary as his wife, tells you all you need to know about Joseph. He's a true believer. He's a righteous man, imparted righteousness of God to him by faith. He is a faithful man. He cares for his wife. He cares about his relationship with God, and he carries that forth in being obedient to the word. When the pressure of that society and culture would have been strong in spite of the word from God through the angel to him in a dream. But he continues to be obedient. He takes Mary as his wife, and he never looks back. He never looks back. Verse 25, but kept her a virgin. That's very important. He kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I'm so thankful tonight that when we remember the birth of our Lord and when we celebrate Jesus here at Christmas time, that we have a father in the picture, a man named Joseph, who's a great example for every dad, that we should be righteous. That means right with God and right with one another, that we should have a tender, loving care for that significant wife that God has given us, and that we should be obedient to God's word. I mean, that's who Joseph is. And I know that may seem like a little bit of a side, but for this story to be this story, and for it to have the wonder, and for it to have this spectacular aspect to it, you have to have a faithful man. You have to have a faithful father. You have to have a servant of God. You have to have a Joseph right here. So praise God for Joseph. Let's move on to 21. I love this verse 21. It says, she will bear a son. And all this is, we hadn't even got into the prophetic aspect of this. It's these old prophets. You go back here in the old covenant, the old contract. You got these prophets that prophesy that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem, that he would, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would crush the head of the serpent, and certainly Jesus won the victory over the devil. Jesus has disarmed the principalities and powers. Jesus has crushed the serpent, and one day that crushing, that defeat of the enemy will be consummated as Jesus will take that dragon by the tail and sling him into the lake of fire, and that's where the devil will reside forever and ever and ever. And the world that we live in at that point, the new heaven, the new earth, that state of bliss, that state of eternal joy and everlasting righteousness and justice for God's people, be rid of the devil and be rid of this old broken down world that we live in, this dark place. We'll have the light of the Lord, no need for the sun in that new heaven and new earth, because the Lord Jesus is the light, and he's a light that never goes out, and in his light is life, and we receive that life. Well, she will bear a son, and notice here that he says, you, so he's talking to Joseph, he says, shall call his name Jesus. And this is significant. Names are really important, and of all the names ever named, how about this name? Jesus. 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 And the name simply means Savior. Now, he could have said, he could have called him anything. You know, God could have said, you know, I want you to call him Scholar. Well, wouldn't that, I mean, just warm fuzzies all over you, right? With Scholar. Call him Scholar. He's going to be an educator. He's going to be an enlightener. No. You know, as much as Scholar is great, it's even more significant, and it's more fitting that his name is called Jesus. And he tells us why. He goes on to say, for he will save his people from their sins. You see, we didn't need anybody really talking to us about how to extricate ourselves from sin or how to become better people. We needed a Savior. Never let that escape your attention, that you personally need a Savior. I need a Savior. Every man, woman, boy, and girl needs a Savior. And the reason is because we are all captive to the devil, and his dominion is over death. We are all living in a cruel, broken down, worldly world full of entanglements and full of entrapments for people walking the face of this planet. And it took a Savior to break the cords, break those entanglements, and disrupt those entrapments that you and I could be saved. We need a Savior, not necessarily a scholar, although Jesus certainly gives us an education on why we need to be saved. But we also need to be saved from our own flesh, our own sinful nature, our proclivities to sin. We're just bent towards sin. We are sinful. We are sinners. We are, what would the old guys back in the day would say, we're fully depraved people. We don't have a shred of goodness in us. In fact, when we want to do good, it's really clouded by bad motives and all kinds of distortions that afflict us. We need a Savior. Well, I'm going to tell you, we got just what God wanted us to get in Jesus, and that is a Savior. And his name is Jesus. And we should remember forevermore that what we needed is a Savior, and a Savior is what we got, and that Savior is Jesus, and He fulfilled God's plan for Him on earth. He accomplished that mission by living sinlessly, teaching flawlessly, doing miracle, performing miracle after miracle after miracle by His grace and by His mercy, coming toward sinners, coming toward the weak, those who were distressed, those who were lost, those who were full of anxiety, and He would just call men and women to Himself. They became His disciples. He would heal. He would cast out devils. He would, He would feed 5,000 and more with a few small fragments from a boy's lunch. He would walk on water. He would calm the sea with one word. That's our Jesus. He's our Savior. And I hope and I trust and I want to encourage you tonight to really think of Him primarily as Savior. He is our Savior. He has come to save us from sin, from hell, from death, from doom and destruction and the devil. And He has done that. He has defeated the devil. He has conquered the dominion of sin over our lives. He has removed the consequences for sin. And when we trust Jesus, His shed blood covers our sin, and we give Him praise for that. He is our Savior. He saves us from turmoil and the turbulence of this world. I give Him praise tonight. His name is Jesus. There is no more beautiful name on earth than Jesus. No more beautiful name than Jesus. How many times have you in the last few months whispered that name? Jesus. Lord, lead us, help us, help me. In my weakness, come and be my strength. Jesus. His name is Jesus. And why? Because He'll save us. He'll save His people from their sins. Our sins, sins kill us. Sin devastates our lives. Sin just leaves us all twisted up with the world and even in our own flesh. And He came to what? He came to save His people from their sins. And He has done just that. All this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. You know, it's amazing. As you think about it, it's amazing. More people don't realize what this time of year is all about. That it is about Jesus. And it's about salvation through Him. And it's amazing how many people living in this world, and even somewhat familiar with the story, are just oblivious to what that name Jesus really means. Jesus means Savior. And then, skipping on down there to verse 23, we won't tarry much longer, but I think this is important tonight to look at this Old Testament quote here in verse 23. I always kind of smile when I'm reading this, knowing that this angel quoted the Old Testament. So he's an angel. I don't know if he'd been working on his memory verses or what. I don't know how that works for angels, but this angel just quotes this verse. And it's interesting as well that the angel really, they don't really know what it means to need a Savior. And they're created beings, and you know, we're aware of some that fell, but they're there to worship, but they don't know what it is to come to faith in Jesus. They don't know, I don't think, what it means just on that human personal level, what it means to receive Jesus and love Jesus and be born again and follow Jesus and to exemplify saving faith and then to walk in not only saving faith but sanctifying faith and to look for His return. I don't know that they understand all that, but He certainly knew the Bible, and He quotes this verse. He says, "Behold, the virgin." And I'll tell you right now, I don't see how they can be a Christian and not believe in the virgin birth. I think that's exclusive. You got to believe in the virgin birth to be a Christian. I think that's a no-brainer, but I know there are some that would take issue, and some of the more liberal churches, they've completely cut out the belief in the virgin birth. Well, it's not about me believing. It's just the fact that there was one. There was a virgin birth, and I do believe it because that's a testimony of the apostles in the New Testament, even the Old Testament, as we see from this verse. That's a quote from, I think, Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14 and 9:6. I think this is part and parcel of the salvation that Jesus came to bring. And this is the joy. It's the joy that God intervenes in the affairs of men to bring about salvation for his people, and to understand this, that it could happen no other way. There was no other way that salvation from God, true salvation, something that thoroughly would set us free from sin and death, it could not happen except that the Son of God was born of a virgin. So the angel says, behold, don't miss this. The virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now to completely welcome that statement, just kind of remove with and put God apart from us. I mean, where's the comfort in that, right? But God came down to man. This is, we read about that ladder that the dream Jacob had back there at Bethel in Genesis 28. We read about Nathaniel this past Sunday and this image of the ladder, and God's at the top, and it's that connection from heaven to earth, and Jesus is that ladder. He is the ladder. He is the connection. And here, that connection begins to take shape and form. And that's the joy. The joy is in this connection that God is visiting his people. And his name is Emmanuel, the name of Jesus, God's Son, our Savior, Emmanuel. And translated, it means God with us. And why would God want to be with us? Because I think this is a real testimony to the Father. How much love is manifested here? How much love is God demonstrating towards sinners in the fact that he's sending his only begotten Son into the world to rescue us, to save us from ourselves and from this old world and from the enemy? I mean, there's love. If this doesn't say God loves us, I don't know what says it. If this doesn't demonstrate God's grace for us, I don't know what demonstrates it. If this doesn't communicate God's mercy and God's enduring care over his people, I don't know what communicates that. Because his name is Emmanuel. And that translated means God with us. God with us. I'll tell you what, that's a pretty wonderful thought and a comforting thought in the world we're living in. God with us. What's that mean? Well, that means that God's as close can be. He's right with us. He's with us when we gather and in a corporate fashion. He's with us on a personal basis. He has taken every care to make sure that you and I have the closeness of himself with us. When we come to Jesus in faith and receive the salvation that he purchased for us on the cross of Calvary, the Holy Spirit is abiding in our lives. He is with us. He is in us. And this can only mean that His love is with us. This can only mean that His wisdom is what? Is with us. This can only mean that His guidance and His strength and all of the resources that God can bring to bear on our lives is with us. Not far away from us. Not in another time zone. Not in another galaxy. It's not something to be speculated about. It's right here, right now. It was in the there, in the then, embodied in Jesus, and it is now with us because Jesus accomplished everything He came to accomplish by living sinlessly, dying on the cross, just selflessly and in agony, and then rising from the dead after using a tomb for 3 days and ascending to the right hand of the Father. And from that place, He will come to call His own to Himself. And we will be with Him forevermore. And He will bring judgment on the unbelieving world. He will bring judgment on unbelievers. But those who know Jesus as what? As Savior, are rescued for all time. And tonight we give Him praise for that. And I want to just wrap this up by saying Merry Christmas to you. And it's good to see you here. It's good to know that you sense that closeness of Christ. And wherever you go in this world, wherever your steps lead you, you bring the closeness of Christ and that testimony, that witness of Jesus right to them. It's close to them, even in their unbelief. And they have an opportunity to receive the light of Christ. And boy, how comforting is the light and the life that Jesus brings as Lord of all creation. Well, it's impossible to do any amount of justice to this text, but the text speaks for itself. I want to wish you Merry Christmas tonight. God bless all of you that joined on social media. Continue to pray and continue to serve. Love your neighbor and pray at all times and be obedient to Jesus. And we'll have a word of prayer. We'll dismiss here momentarily. Jeff, will you lead us in our prayer?
Yeah.